ask that you pray especially for me as I have the responsibility of preaching to you the message this morning. We want to be as faithful and true to the Word of God as we know how to be. It is our only rule of faith and practice. I'm going to be using many scriptures. I'm going to be asking you to turn to some of these scriptures because it doesn't matter what you think or I think. It matters what God says in His book. I've been preaching for 66 years. And I've never preached this message before. Never have. The Lord has been impressing me to preach it now for over a year. And every time I get involved in it, something else claims my attention and I go a different route. This time I tried to preach on several things and the Lord shut the door and brought me back to this message. So I need you to pray for me this morning. And I need you to listen to what I have to say. Does not mean I am infallible. But it means you to search the Scriptures to see whether these things be so or not. I want to ask you to turn first of all to the book of Matthew chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 1. Notice the familiar reading of verses 16 through 25. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. If there were a single text, it would be verse 25. They called, or he called, his name Jesus. And I want to speak on the subject of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. He called his name Jesus. The purpose of a name is to give identity and recognition to an individual. Thus, everybody has a name. The Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was given three names in Matthew chapter number 1. Again, I repeat, he was given three names in chapter 1 of Matthew. The first name is found in Matthew 1:16. It says, who is called Christ? Who is called Christ? Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This would be his office name, speaking of his work as prophet, priest, and king. Gary Barber is the tax collector for Smith County. That is his name. If I saw him on the road, I could say to him, "Good morning, Mr. Barber," or "Good morning, Gary," and it would perfectly be all right. But if I didn't want to call him by his proper name, I could call him by his office name. "Good morning, Mr. Tax Collector." Because he has an office, and that's what he does. This is the office name of Jesus. He is called Christ, speaking of his work as prophet, priest, and king. He would be the Messiah. The people in Israel had looked and longed for the day their Messiah would come. And he did come. And this is referred in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Watch it. "His name shall be called." Not Jesus there. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice the titles. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called the Mighty God. He will be called the Everlasting Father. And he will be called the Prince of Peace. That is his office name, speaking of his work as prophet, priest, and king. The second one in Matthew 1 is found in verse number 21. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." The angel is speaking expressly to Joseph, and he says to you, Joseph, this baby, when he's born, you're to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This would be his proper name. I have a proper name. You have a proper name. My proper name is not Dan. My proper name is Daniel. My middle name is Watts. My last name is Cozart. Daniel Watts Cozart. Daniel, I was named after a very famous Methodist preacher in Sylacauga, Alabama. Daniel Whitsitt was his name. I was named after him, Daniel. And then since I was born in Watts Hospital in Durham, North Carolina, I don't know what my mother had been drinking. She figured that's a pretty good name. You don't hear that every day, Daniel Watts. And of course, I received that last name from my daddy and my mother. But it would be a proper name, speaking of his purpose. Jesus is his proper name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's his name. Just as Zacharias was given the information when that baby was born, he would be called John. John the Baptist. It's his proper name, speaking of his purpose. Why? Because the name Jesus is more than just a name. It means something. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name means, Jesus, Savior. The third name that is given is found in verse number 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Not speaking of a different baby here, same one. He's called Christ, he's called Jesus, but here he's called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This would be his personal name. Now, I want to tell you what I think. Sometimes you read a verse of Scripture, you're not quite sure, so you say, this is what I think it means. Based on my study, based on reading and comparing with other Scriptures, I believe he was speaking to Joseph and Mary when he said, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. I do not believe that other people called him Emmanuel. And the reason I do not believe that is nowhere in your Bible did anybody else call him Emmanuel. So they must, and the angel of the Lord must have been speaking expressly to Joseph and Mary, you shall call his name Emmanuel. This would be his personal name, and it speaks of his divine person. He would be God in the flesh. And that is referred to in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I believe it was personally to Joseph and to Mary. But you have Christ, you have Jesus, and then you have Emmanuel. Let me give you a brief summary on the proper name of Jesus. Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus. During his infancy and his childhood, the general public recognized him as Jesus. However, when he entered into the ministry as an adult, his followers no longer used that name. Many others who were unsaved continued to call him by his proper name, Jesus, but not his followers and his disciples. They refused to do this out of love and respect for who he was. The Son of God. This was not just another baby. This was the unique Son of God. And the followers and the disciples of the Lord soon felt that he deserved all of the glory and all of the power and all of the praise because his name would be above every name. Now, why is that so? My opinion, they wanted to avoid cheap familiarity. My daddy's name was Lenny Thomas Cozart. L.T. Cozart. I never called him Lenny, not one time in his life. Why? Because he was my daddy. And I think parents make a tremendous mistake when they giggle and make fun of their children using their own proper names instead of recognizing them in the home as my mother and my daddy. I think it is sacrilegious to talk about moms and dads as the old man and the old lady. Now, I had a friend of mine who was in the same Sunday school class at the First Baptist Church in Roxburgh, North Carolina. His name was Lenny. Every time I saw him, I said, hello, Lenny, how's everything going? Yay, Lenny, remember me? But I never called my dad Lenny, because there was all the difference in the world and my dad and my friend. Dear ones, I'm not trying to be a prude, but I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is more than a friend. He's God Almighty in the flesh. And we must be careful of the cheap familiarity of referring to the Lord Jesus Christ on a first name basis. I want you to give some thought to that today. Please give some thought to that today. Our generation today has gone to the extreme with familiarity in calling our Lord and Savior by his first name, Jesus. 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 Did you happen to watch the news documentary on Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker that aired this last week? I'm sorry you missed that. I don't think any clown in the world could supersede Tammy Baker. She had so much makeup on, when she took it off, if ever, she weighed 50 pounds less. She couldn't even close her eyes because her eyelids got tangled up. And she would come on with this sanctimonious crybaby stuff, saying, "Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus." And I thought, that's blasphemy. We're not talking about just anybody who has the name Jesus. And I want to tell you, there are a lot of people today that have the name Jesus. Don't be on a proper name basis with Him if He's the Son of God. That's what I'm saying. Millions of people, saved and unsaved alike today, refer to the Son of God as a mere close friend or a superstar. They all seem to be on a first name basis with the God of creation. I fully believe there's a danger in this. Now, what saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? Number one, there is authority and exaltation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is authority and exaltation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Randy Roberts, I believe, selected that passage in Philippians last week to read it at the beginning of the service. It'd do you good to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verses 5 through 11. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in..." Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi. Notice, not the name, not the mind in Jesus, but the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a baby." No. He was made in the likeness of men. A warning here, lest you keep the little baby Jesus in the crib every year, year. He did grow up. And that was only one little small aspect of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, read on. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name," underscore this, "which is above every name." God in heaven only knows how many millions and billions of names have been given during our course since Adam's day in the garden. But there is no name that has ever been given that could even begin to equal or ever surpass the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave him that name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus... In other words, if we're just going to persist and say, "Well, I'm just going to call him Jesus anyway." All right, if you're going to do that, watch this carefully. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Does yours when you use his name? "Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, I'm sure that that was not put in the Bible to take up space. There's a reason for that. How was the Lord Jesus Christ addressed in the Bible? Especially with Christians. Okay? How did John the Baptist address him? Now, John the Baptist was born 6 months ahead of time. That is, before Christ was born. But I can assure you, at no time did John the Baptist call him Jesus. The first introductory of address to the Lord Jesus Christ was, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He knew him before he saw him. I mean, John the Baptist knew Christ before he saw him. There was a close-knit relationship with the family of Mary and Joseph, with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They knew each other. He knew that man that's coming. "I know him, Jesus." That's his name. But he wouldn't call him Jesus. He said he's a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. One of my favorites. What did Simon Peter call him? Let's just check them out. What did Simon Peter call him? Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Beginning with verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Christ is asking for his identity from other people. Who am I? Who am I? Now watch the answer. It's very important. They said, "Some say you are John the Baptist." Was that his proper name? It certainly was. "Some say you are Elijah." Was that a proper name? It certainly was. "Some say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Is that a proper name? It certainly was. They're using proper names of who people thought he might be. He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Gosh, Lord, everybody knows you, Jesus." Amen. You must be Jesus. He didn't say that. He called Jeremiah's name. He called Elijah's name. He called the prophet's name. But notice what his answer was. Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I think on another occasion, when the Lord came walking on the water and Simon Peter joined him walking on the water, Simon began to realize he was in a dangerous position and he shouldn't be walking on the water. He began to sink. And when he began to sink, he said three very precious words were these, "Lord, save me." He didn't say, "Jesus, I'm drowning. And buddy, you help me if you can." Lord, you say, what difference does it make? All the difference in the world in cheap familiarity and recognizing who he really is. What about the Apostle Paul? What did the Apostle Paul call him? Go back to Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Paul, Saul at that time, that was his name. Paul was his Gentile name. Saul was his Hebrew name. So in the context, he's recognized as being Saul the persecutor. Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest, desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, pay attention, church. He said, Who art thou, Lord? He's not speaking of the lordship of Christ. He's thinking that this bright light that's knocked me off of my horse must be an angel or something, must be a divine being. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? And notice that Christ gave him his proper name. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, from that point on, Paul should know that it's Jesus. But how did he recognize him? In verse number 6, he trembling and astonished said, not Jesus, but Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And if you are a student of the Bible and you study the ministry of the Apostle Paul, take all of his three missionary journeys, take his early life as is that limited amount that's revealed for him in the Scripture, take his death, take everything about him. When he referred to Christ, it was always the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went. He was locked up in jail in Philippi, and the Lord sent an earthquake that opened up the doors of the prison, and the jailer was quickly aroused by that, and he came to Paul and raised a very important question. He said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, keep in mind, my dear friends, that and I say this with tongue in cheek, and I'm slow to even say it with tongue in cheek. Paul and Jesus were running buddies. Okay? How many others do you read about in the Bible that Christ appeared to in the way he appeared to Paul? Paul answered the Philippian jailer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, I claim to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But it was always more than just the proper name. What about Mary and Martha? Who was Mary and who was Martha? They were very close friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a brother whose name was Lazarus. And Lazarus became deathly ill. And they got a message to Christ. And when they sent the message to Christ, it went something like this. Lord, and that's according to the Bible, Lord, they called him Lord. He whom thou lovest is sick. If you're going to get here before he dies, you better get here in a hurry. And do you remember when Christ showed up? Martha met him first. What did she say? She said, Lord. They didn't call him Jesus. They called him Lord. If thou hadst only been here, our brother had not died. And Mary, her sister, was summoned. And when Mary comes to Christ, she says the same thing Martha did. Lord, if thou hadst only been here, our brother had not died. By the way, what did Thomas call him? When Thomas missed church on Sunday night, he missed a real blessing because the Lord resurrected from the grave, appeared to the church, and Thomas was absent. And Thomas told the other disciples, he said, you know what? You guys are putting me on. You say that the Lord was there and he arose from the dead and all this. And I'll not believe it until I can take my hand and thrust it into his side. I want to see the prints of the nails in his hands. And the next Sunday he was in church. I don't blame him for that. And the Lord showed up. And my dear friends, the Lord said, "Here I am, Thomas. Look at my hands. Look at my side." It changed his life. He responded by saying, "My Lord and my God." Can you really? Do you think the public sentiment of people at Christmas time is Jesus Christ is Lord God Almighty? He's the God of creation. Not at all. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. You're going to hear it so much. Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that. I want to hear somebody say, "Wait a minute. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, dear friend, let me tell you something. If that offends you, you go ahead and get your feelings hurt. I tried my best to get around this message, and I couldn't do it. It's so clearly set forth, I believe, in the Word of God. Even on occasions, there were unsaved people that showed more respect for Him than even some of those who claimed to have known Him. When Christ died on the cross, at the foot of the cross, there was a Roman soldier, a centurion, who said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And he didn't even know the Lord. But he knew he was different. There's something about this man. I like the reference in Acts chapter 19, verse 15. I'm going to wait till you get there because it's a good one. Acts chapter 19, verse 15. What did the demons call him? What did the demons call him? Acts chapter 19, verse 15. In verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, they were exorcists. They believed in casting devils out of people. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you," notice, not the Lord Jesus, they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. This old Jew, Sceva, he had seven boys, and they all wanted to be able to cast demons out of people like their daddy taught them to. Seven sons, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered. Now these seven boys are talking to the demons that possess this man. And the evil spirits answered and said. Now the demons answered and said, "Jesus, I know." "And Paul, I know. But who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of their house naked and wounded. Boy, the demons came in like to beat that man, those boys to death. Point being is the demons recognize him as Jesus. You say, "Well, I'm in good company." Are you really? Brother Stephen preached, and they did not like his message. And they began to throw stones at him to take his life. Do you remember the last thing that Stephen said? He had already made reference, "I see the Son of Man standing at the Father's right hand." But the last thing he said before the Lord called him away and he was killed and he was murdered, the last thing he said was, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Listen to what a dying Christian said. "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus." It's strange at this particular time of the year, and every Christmas it doesn't change. You can use the name Jesus and not be ostracized for it. But I'm going to tell you before you do it, you start using the Lord Jesus and watch how the ire of people get stirred up again. You a nut. John chapter number 3, Nicodemus, at the reading of this scripture, was not a saved man. I believe he came to know the Lord, but not in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, obviously, he knew where the Lord Jesus was staying. He found him by night. He came to him and he said unto him, Jesus, no, he didn't. He said, Rabbi. Rabbi meaning master. He recognized something in this man. He's not a just everyday individual. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Even Nicodemus showed that respect. The third thing is this. Jesus is to be addressed as Lord. And I'll give you one more reference here. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. For the earlier part of my ministry, I would plead with my congregation, what you need to do is to make Jesus Lord of your life. Until I heard Roth Bonnard say, you can't do that. God's already beat you to it. God made him Lord. Did you know what? He is Lord. He is your Lord. You may not recognize that. You may not accept that. But he is Lord. He is Lord. We should add that title to his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, much to my shame, I'll tell you how I came to be rebuked by another pastor. And as he was rebuking me, I wanted to fight him. I wanted to bite him. But I had to back off and say, you know what? He's right. He's right. I preached at New Caney. If you know where Houston is, you've got to know where New Caney is. This man pastored New Caney Baptist Church. His name is Jack Shanks. Never did like Jack. Liked him less when he rebuked me. Jack Shanks spoke to me about my continual usage of Jesus on a first name basis. And I began to remember and then also pick up tape recordings and CD recordings of messages I had preached. And I always referred to him as Jesus. Jesus did this and Jesus did that and Jesus did the other. He said, what makes you think you're on a first name basis with the Son of God? I didn't like that any more than some of you like what I'm saying this morning. I didn't like that. But he was right. And I got away from that. When I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't say Jesus did this. If I'm reading it in Scripture where he did certain things, that's one thing. But to say just on a proper name basis, who in the world do I think I am to call the Son of God by his first name? I can't do that. Can't do that. A final illustration, and I have told you about this before, and probably you forgot all about it. So I'm going to tell you again, okay? Roth Bonnard was a war horse. Your daddy thought he was something, didn't he, brother? Roth Bonnard could preach and had the congregation leave before he got through. I mean, he was tough. Always Scripture, right down the line. Give you the Word of God. shock you to death at some of the things he would preach and say and back it up with Scripture. Ralph Bonnard, he's long since gone to be with the Lord. He was to preach in Henry Mahan's church. These names don't mean maybe anything to you. Mahan was a Bible teacher. He's since then gone on to be with the Lord. I had him over at Patton Lane when we first started this church. He preached 2 or 3 days over there. Well, he invited Ralph Bonner to come and preach in his church. And he said, you know, and these are the words that came from Brother Mahan as he related it to me. He said, you know, we really want to get the church taken care of. We want to sing our best because Ralph Bonner is going to be our preacher today. Oh, we want the choir singing and we want the people. He covered all the bases. And as the service started, just before Mr. Barnard got up to preach, the people began to sing, Jesus Saves. We've heard the joyful noise, Jesus Saves. And when they got through singing that, Mr. Mahan said, Mr. Barnard, it's your pulpit. He got up and said, he don't do no such thing. What? He said, Jesus never saved anybody. He said, I can give you numbers and numbers and numbers of people, especially down in Mexico, whose name's Jesus. And they never saved anybody. Now, if you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in business. Folk, he was right. He was right. It's not the proper name. It's who he is, the Son of God. You've been kind to listen to this rambling. One other reference, and we'll go home. Romans chapter number 10. Said, what are we going to have for lunch? Roast preacher. Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, watch this now, folks, carefully. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. I hope and I pray that you'll take this message in the heart that I've tried to preach it to you. I'm not here to rebuke you for it. I'm here to instruct you in it. Think about who you refer to when you refer to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Not Jesus has come. The Lord has come. I'm glad that's over with. May never preach it again, but I wanted you to hear it. Thank you for listening. Let's stand, please, for prayer.